Baseball's winter meetings get underway this week in Orlando, Florida, where general managers from every team gather in a hotel to talk about trades and free agents. It's the one moment of the year when the parallel universes of real life and fantasy sports overlap, and real life GMs find themselves wondering aloud about how Barry Bonds or Manny Ramirez might look on their team next season and what it might take to get them. The winter meetings also come just after the ballot for the Baseball Hall of Fame came out, listing two players certain to be elected on the first ballot, Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken, and the name of one-time home run king and steroid suspect Mark McGwire. Our baseball pal Alan Schwartz stopped by on his way to Orlando. If you have questions for him about what might or might not happen this week or about the Hall of Fame ballot, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Alan Schwartz is a senior writer for Baseball America and author of The Numbers Game. He joins us today from our bureau in New York. Alan, good to talk to you.
It's good to be here, Neil. How are you?
I'm well. There have been a few transactions even before the winter meetings, and one conclusion you'd have to come to is that this game is awash with money.
Yeah, I have to say this is my last show for you. I was signed for 8 years and $136 million by the Cubs.
You didn't even let us get in an offer.
Well, you know, if you were in line and you blew it, and so I'm afraid that this is my sayonara. No, money has been flying around. Teams in baseball are awash with cash, and they don't mind spending it, which seems fine. I mean, Alfonso Soriano, late of the Yankees and the Rangers, signed for 8 years and $136 million with the Cubs. Carlos Lee, who's a pretty one-dimensional slugger, got $100 million from the Astros. And Gary Matthews Jr., who's had only one good year, got $50 million from the Angels, so teams have a lot of money, and they're eager to spend it.
Boston Red Sox have bid over $51 million for the rights to negotiate with a Japanese pitcher.
Well, that number, actually, I think more has been made of that number than truly deserves. It's really a phantom number, because that's only the number that they had to commit in order to speak with Matsuzaka. Who knows how the contract is going to be structured? Basically, all they did is they said the first $51 million of whatever we decide this fellow is worth is going to go to the Cebu Lions, his former team, by contract that they have with the pitcher. But, you know, there's all sorts of ways to structure the new contract with the pitcher that can be creatively done within the rules, and that can make that 51 seem a lot less than it does right now.
And one of the most intriguing players out there on any number of levels is Barry Bonds, the multiple MVP award-winning outfielder now for the San Francisco Giants, who will, barring injury, break the all-time home run record next season.
Well, he needs to play for a team first. He needs to find someone who wants to employ him, and that's becoming increasingly difficult. Now, of course, he will find someone, because right now his perceived asking price, or perhaps literal asking price, is too high, and not enough teams want to deal with the distraction. And certainly the Giants are a team that's put up with that distraction. They know that their fans like Barry Bonds. And so I think it's fair to say that the Giants will ultimately probably sign him, because there aren't enough other suitors. But right now, I think Barry Bonds is dealing with the fact that many fewer people want him for anything close to the price that he and his agent want than he thought.
And as he looks at the prices you mentioned that Alfonso Soriano is getting, he must be saying, I'm Barry Bonds. Why can't I make as much as Alfonso Soriano?
Well, he's 41 or 42 years old, and Alfonso Soriano is 30 and in his prime. Barry Bonds had his moment in the sun. Remember, at the end of the 1992 winter meetings, he signed, I think it was a $43.75 million contract, which at the time was obscene. And he was the highest paid player in the game for, you know, probably about 10 minutes until some utility infielder came along.
Yeah, back then we thought that was big bucks. We're talking with Alan Schwartz, author of The Numbers Games, Baseball's Lifelong Fascination with Statistics, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get some callers in on this conversation. John's calling us from Newark, New York.
Yep.
Go ahead, please.
I was just wondering what your thoughts on Manny Ramirez, if he's actually going to end up getting traded from Boston, or is this just another talk every time, every season?
Manny Ramirez, yeah, one of the most productive hitters in baseball the past 10 years. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Manny has been outstanding, and I don't think that the Red Sox are going to be able to trade him for anything close to his value. And I think that the Red Sox organization is too smart to let Manny being Manny. He's sort of a quirky guy. He's very strange, and he doesn't really get along with everyone in Boston, but he's simply too productive, and he's too important as a complement to David Ortiz, their left-handed slugger, to let him go. It's one thing if they could trade him for somebody really good in return, and certainly the expectation in Boston is that if they were to trade Manny Ramirez, they would sign J.D. Drew, the reasonably multi-talented outfielder who had been with the Dodgers. and much younger. But I still think that Boston isn't going to be able to get enough for Manny Ramirez to have it make sense. But if he goes to the Giants, if they do trade Manny Ramirez to the Giants to play left field, that leaves no spot for Barry Bonds in San Francisco and makes it very interesting to see what happens with Barry.
And the thought then that Barry might come to Boston, where, John, you'll note that he does also, like David Ortiz, bat left-handed, but I think they could work a way around that.
Right, right.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go now to, this is Lucas. Lucas calling us from Weberville in Michigan.
Yeah, hi. I was just curious about Mark McGwire. I'm a huge fan of him. And I know he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I was wondering if, just because of the accusations against the steroid usage, if he will have no chance at all of getting in. And that'd be my question.
Okay.
Okay. I do not have a Hall of Fame vote. But I do know enough people who do have Hall of Fame votes. And I think there is no chance that Mark McGwire gets in this year. I'm not suggesting that he should or shouldn't. I'm saying he will not. There have been some informal polls done, and only about 25% of people who expressed an opinion said that they would vote for McGwire, and I think he needs 75 in order to clear the barrier. So I don't think that's going to happen. My answer, which I give, you know, on every show that asks me, if I had a vote, I would not vote for him, not as punishment, but because you can't vote someone out of the Hall of Fame. You can only vote someone in the Hall of Fame. And right now there is too much question over whether he accomplished his statistics, the things that we would vote him in on for, whether he did that legitimately or not. Now, obviously, there are hundreds of players who have those same suspicions. So it's not that we're just picking on Mark McGwire. I would rather wait a few years to learn more about the era and the circumstances under which Mark McGwire accomplished what he did before deciding something that will be permanent. Basically, you're giving him tenure, and I want to wait a few years, and I think that his answers before the congressional committee, which were murky and evasive and, frankly, very disrespectful to those of us who care about this stuff, I think that we have to wait a few years to learn more. I think that if I had only one shot, I could either vote for him or not. I would vote him in because I think he did earn it. But since I don't have to vote for him, we have 15 years to learn more, I would wait.
Will it take 15 years for George Mitchell to complete the study he was assigned by Commissioner Selig to finish on steroids?
It'll take longer than that. He'll never complete it. There's no completion to be had. He can't get player testimony. It was something bound to never finish in the first place. It was done for public relations reasons, which is fine. Lots of organizations do things for public relations reasons. It accomplished some of that, but most of it is impossible to accomplish. And so, you know, I think by the time he's quote-unquote finished, people aren't really going to care anymore.
Let's go back to the purposes of these winter meetings, which is to think about trades of players and to actually trade a few. We've been talking all about sluggers for the most part, except for that pitcher from Japan. And as we remind ourselves every fall, you know, pitching and defense, that's what win world championships.
That's right. And Barry Zito, the left-hander formerly of the Oakland A's, is most likely going to sign with the New York Mets. There are lots of reasons why that would happen, many of which being that the Mets have the money and other teams don't. But also it's an attractive environment for Barry Zito. His former pitching coach from Oakland is the pitching coach of the Mets. It's a big ballpark. He loves the New York nightlife. He's a very eccentric, artistic fellow, plays the guitar, enjoys photography. He's really tailor-made to spend 5 or 7 years in New York, depending on what kind of contract he gets. But also there might be some interesting trades. Dontrell Willis, the wonderful left-hander for the Florida Marlins, might now be so expensive that the Marlins will decide to trade him, and he might find him in a large East Coast market by the end of this week. I think it's unlikely, but it's certainly possible. Manny Ramirez is somebody, the slugger for the Boston Red Sox, might be traded. That's something which, of course, the previous caller brought up. And Adam Dunn, a less known slugger for the Cincinnati Reds, is someone who I think can be in play as well. We should watch out for him. He'll make a difference on a club next year if he gets dealt.
Alan Schwartz, thanks very much. Have a good time in Orlando.
My pleasure, Neil. Take care.
Alan Schwartz is a senior writer for Baseball America. He also writes the Keeping Score column in the Sunday New York Times sports section. He joined us today from our bureau in New York. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.